Wow. How do you choose? What do you choose? This week, trying to put the sermon together, I've had difficulty. That difficulty was three computers, and I'm having difficulty again. We have a choice in what we do and how we live, who we serve, and I just forgot. Children, you're dismissed. That's why Ron is waving at me. Oh, my goodness. I messed up on that one. But they know the plan. The kids do. We have a choice in the way we live. You know, Paul tells us in Romans 12 about not following the pattern of this world. And one of the things I learned growing up, my mama used to sew our clothes. Literally, she made shirts, things like that. And she made dresses for my sister, not for my two brothers and myself, no. But she was a great seamstress. She was just fantastic. And one of the things I learned about the pattern is also in Spanish called the patrón. In other words, the boss. You got to follow the pattern to make it work, or the dress wouldn't come out right. So Paul tells us in Romans that we shouldn't follow the pattern, the boss of this world. But we all have patterns in our lives. We all have principles in our lives. And we live by them. I don't always like the pattern I live. I don't always like the principle that I live, because the pattern and the principle don't match. I struggle with that. It's tension in my life. Don't follow the pattern of this world. We have, today, we're talking about service. And service comes in many ways in our lives and the way we live it out. One thing I've noticed about life this last year, my life, my wife's life, is it gives me such joy to see her growing in bold confidence in sharing her faith and reaching out to people. And it's something that has come, I believe, because of her pattern and the principle she is diving into about being in the Word daily. And that living Word through the Holy Spirit speaking in her life. I love sharing about God. I believe what that song said, that He's resurrected, that He's all-powerful. His name is above any name and anything in this world. I believe that. Last week, we took a trip to Texas. We're doing Ancestry. Did some work with my two brothers. And we spent a lot of time. But we had the opportunity to share faith in Christ. She looked at a retired veteran dead in the eye and said, "Do you believe God is in control?" She then said to him, "What about Jesus? What are you doing with him?" That's powerful. Because every one of us has to deal with the empty tomb. I was loading my truck. We were leaving the hotel. And I saw this young guy behind me and loading his car. And I was going to talk to him. And he yells at me, "Hey, where are you going today?" A young Marine. We got to share faith with him. Got to share faith with him. shared with another Army veteran. I believe about Jesus because in 1973, in a hooch in Southeast Asia, Smitty, my brother, shared faith with me. And I remember a question. We put together bombs, we build bombs, and when you're sitting on top of that 1,000-pounder, putting it together and it blows up, where are you going to be, heaven or hell? It was real. Life and death. It was real. That was 1973. 1977. Something happened to my younger brother. He's a drug dealer. He shared faith with me. And I was like, yeah. I'm going to go to the club. I'm going to go do what I want to do. But something happened to me October 4th, 1977. What Smitty said to me 4 years earlier, and then seeing the life change in my brother, something happened. Jesus got real in my life. Now, what was it all about? It was about service. Smitty grew up preaching as a teenager. He was the oldest guy on our squad. He was 4 years older than me. I was the youngest. I was 18. He was 22. Born the same year my older brother was. And for 40 years, I prayed for my older brother to meet Jesus. 40 years. And guess what? He did. 40 years. Don't stop praying. How did I get to Jesus? How did my younger brother get to Jesus? How did my older brother get to Jesus? 1978, January, Navy base in Corpus Christi. We're at a Christian concert there. My mama walks the aisle to the altar and gives her life to the Lord. She was born 1931. That was 1978. You do the math. My dad, finally, spring in Corpus Christi, got down on his knees and gave his life to the Lord. He was 58 years old. The last 10 years of my pop's life, he was a different man. But why? What happened? Someone said, let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me share Jesus with you. That's all it took, was someone to say, here's Jesus. If you would, turn in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 35 and following. John, chapter 1, verse 35 and following. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. and he brought him to Jesus. You see, service, inviting people to Jesus. I'm going to venture this. There are some in here this morning that don't know Jesus. Some that haven't come to him. Today is your opportunity. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. But you got to make a choice. Are you on the cruise ship or are you on the aircraft carrier, the battleship, whatever was up here? Okay? You got to make a choice. Because the great songs we sung this morning, or is it sang? It's all right. We were singing. Jackie asked me questions because sometimes I think in Spanish and it comes out funny in English. And I was like, this is just the way I think, okay? But think about this. I saw this the other day and I said, I got to share this one. The greatest man in history, Jesus Christ. He had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degree, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb. He lives today. He lives today. I'm going to ask you to do something. Y'all get ready. Write something down. Key it in your phone, whatever you have. I'm going to ask you to think of one person in your world. Those of you who believe, who are followers of Christ, that is your mission world. Your mission field. Write that name down. Ask yourself, do I really believe what the living word of God says about Jesus? He's almighty, all-knowing, ever-present, prayer-hearing, prayer-answering, miracle-working God. Join with him through the Holy Spirit on the journey to reach that person that you are thinking about and you're writing his name down or her name. Because eternity matters. It's forever. Heaven or hell. There's three things that are eternal. God, his word, and the souls of your children. The only thing I can take to heaven from this earth is the souls of my children. I want them to know Jesus and to live for him. You see, if you do not believe what the living word says about Jesus, then I encourage you, really, to go do something else somewhere else. That's hard, but it's true. Because we worship the King this morning. Because he is the King of Kings. Jesus Christ is our paragon. Paragon is our model or our pattern, the patron, the boss of excellence or of particular excellence. See, our church is either a cruise ship or an aircraft carrier. On a cruise ship, everything is about comfort. My comfort. What do I get out of it? Do I like the food, music, or am I being entertained? You see, on an aircraft carrier, everything is about mission. There's something I learned in the military in my experience. Three M's, mission, my men, me. That's what it's about. What is my role? Who are we sending? How do we equip? How do we disciple? and deploy people. That's what service is about. Deploying, sending people. We have opportunity in the next few weeks to be doing things like that. Jesus Christ didn't die to create a religious cruise ship. Paragon Church is not about your comfort, your consumerism, and entertainment. It's about ministry and service. What is your investment in the kingdom of God here at Paragon? What is your service? What are you doing? You just show up on Sunday? Check the box? What is your investment? We need you. The kingdom of God needs you. Paragon Church is just a part of the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom. It's a part. What is your investment into that? Jesus Christ is about building a launch platform for ambassadors. Paul tells us in Romans 5 that we have a ministry of reconciliation, that we are ambassadors. Ask yourself, am I on a cruise ship? Am I the passenger? Or am I deployed, as the Blues Brothers would say, on a mission with God? Are you on a mission with God? Think about Andrew. He found the Messiah. He went and found his brother. Introduced his brother to Jesus. Well, that computer stopped. All right. Thank you, Jackie. He went and found his brother. It's good stuff. It's rich. To find somebody, introduce them to Jesus, and see Jesus change their life. I am not the man I used to be. Okay. I've been meeting in Bible study with Josh Todd for 2 years. I'm going to tell you what, Josh Todd is not the man he used to be. Been meeting with Jim Stanek probably a year. My brother was in the army, wounded. He told us at Bible study, I thought I was a man because I was at 911. He would go into the buildings as a fireman to pull people out, to find bodies. He joined the army, went to Iraq, blown up. Said, I thought I was a man by being in the army. At the Bible study one time, he said to us, right out here in the foyer, he says, I became a man and I realized it when I surrendered to Jesus. Amen. Amen. The evidence of coming to Jesus is a changed life. I know too many men who say, yeah, Jesus, yes, Jesus, this Jesus, that, all that stuff. Just had a conversation with a man this week. I just like women. His life is not changing. So I question where he's at with Jesus. The evidence of a change of a man coming to Jesus is a changed life. Simple. Read through 1 John. He does a lot of if. Y'all read through it. 5 chapters. You can get through it real quick this week. and see what it says. Think about it from Andrew's perspective. He saw Jesus. He met Jesus. Found his brother. His brother. Peter. Peter's name appears in every account of the great moments of the church. The transfiguration. The garden. The morning breakfast on the beach or the shore. After the resurrection. Simon Peter. The rock on whom Jesus said he would build his church. The man who walked on water. The man who preached to 3,000 people at Pentecost. Peter was Andrew's brother. The brother he brought to Jesus. That's our service. Reaching people. Introducing them to Jesus. That's service. The brother Andrew went out and found and told about Jesus. That right there was Andrew's first recorded act in the Gospel of John. He found his brother. Remember, Andrew heard John the Baptist say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then Andrew followed Jesus that day and spent the day with him. And then he went and found Peter, his brother, and told him, "We have found the Messiah, and I brought Peter to Jesus." Now, I have two brothers. We used to joke about changing underwear. "Here's mine, Mel. Here's mine, Bob." We were that close. My brother and I are 11 months and 8 days apart. My brother loved me enough to tell me about Jesus. Smitty, on my bomb team, loved me enough to tell me about Jesus. Jesus is real. He changes lives. "We have found the Messiah," is what Andrew said. He didn't keep him to himself. He was not following around by himself. He was with others. Let me ask you, what are you doing? Andrew shared his story. All of us who have confessed Jesus and know Jesus personally, we have a story. We have his story in our life. Andrew shared his story and brought people to Jesus Christ, to the one who could do for them and for them what Andrew himself could not do. He couldn't save them. He couldn't die for him to give him eternal life. Only Jesus could do that. Think about Andrew walking with Jesus, with the disciples. There was a time when the crowd numbered 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And they followed Jesus for 3 days. People got hungry. And they had no food. And there was no village nearby to get supplies. Andrew found a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And again, Andrew brought him to Jesus. It is amazing what happens when you bring someone to Jesus Christ. Andrew added this as a caveat. "But what are they among so many?" 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, 5,000 men. Andrew said it out loud. Sometimes like me and probably others, that you're thinking it and it just comes out. But what are they among so many? And Scripture documents it. Andrew said it out loud, which is more honest than pretending the problem doesn't exist. Andrew bought the boy with his lunch, his limited provisions, and he gave Jesus what he had. And you know what? 5,000 men ate. Not counting women and children, so there's got to be a whole bunch. I mean, if you just do one child and the man's wife, you're looking, what, 15,000 people. That's a lot of grub. 5,000 ate. Andrew brought the boy to Jesus with his limited provisions, and he gave what he had to Jesus. That's all it is. Whatever you have, give it to Jesus. He'll take care of it. And then it's noted again in the Gospel of John. Philip went to Andrew before Passover, after the triumphal entry. He told Andrew, some Greeks came to me and said, we want to see Jesus. The Greeks wanted to see Jesus. The same pattern and principle of Andrew's life. I'll take you to Jesus. That's all. That's all I got. The same pattern and principle of introducing people to Jesus is service. It was his brother, Peter, the boy with the bread and the fish, and the Greeks, person after person, brought to the same man, Jesus. Through a consistent pattern and principle, knowing Jesus is the answer to what each of these individuals is needing. What pattern are you walking in? What principle are you living by? What are we doing with the pattern and the principle? After the resurrection, the record goes quiet about Andrew. But by then, the pattern and the principle was set. It was established enough in his bones that he didn't need to be recorded. He just kept doing what he had always done. A few weeks ago, my brother Reese shared about jujitsu. Tap, snap, or nap. Okay? I'm learning, and I keep being told, position before submission, Bob. Because I believe I'm a pretty strong guy. And often, even rolling with my brother Alex over there, who's here this morning, I want to use my strength. And I get told again and again, breathe. Position before submission, Bob. It's muscle memory. It's learning. What we do in our pattern and in our principle of living life, those things repeat themselves. It's muscle memory. Andrew was the first to follow, and he brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Every revival in history can be traced back to someone like Andrew. Think about who brought Billy Graham to Jesus. And who was it that brought that man that brought Billy Graham to Jesus? And we could go back generations. It was always somebody. My brother. Smitty. I told Smitty, you need to understand, you think you're not doing a whole lot in your little church ministry in Kentucky, but I want you to know you have children, spiritual children. You have spiritual grandchildren and spiritual great-grandchildren in this Western Hemisphere and in the Eastern Hemisphere that I've been to. People know Jesus because you sat in a hooch in 1973 and shared faith with me. Give thanks to God for that. You won't ever know their name until heaven and they said, "Hey, thanks for sharing your faith with Bunks." That's my nickname because I fell out of a bunk. He's going to see him. Like that song that says, "Thank you for giving to Jesus. You just share faith with me." See, every revival in history can be traced back to someone like Andrew. Not the man on the stage, but the man who found the man on the stage and said, "Come, I have found the Messiah, and I need to show you." The church is desperate for Andrews, not more Peters. Not more men who want to be in the front of the boat and have the keys to the kingdom. The church needs men that are secure in their identity in Jesus Christ to spend their entire ministry bringing others to Christ without needing to be the story themselves. Andrew's greatness was being invisible by design. Let God guide you. If Andrew kept Peter to himself and built a following around himself, being the kingdom center, we would never have heard of Peter. The greatest preacher in the early church was one introduction away from never meeting Jesus. Andrew made that introduction. Thank God for that. Remember that name you thought of at the beginning? Who has God placed in your field of vision, your AO, in other words, your area of operation? Who needs you to say, "Come, I have found the Messiah. Come and see." It may literally be your brother, the person you grew up with, who knows your flaws, who has watched your life and concluded that whatever you have, he needs it. That person, the one who feels too close, too familiar to the conversation to feel spiritual or appropriate. I saw my younger brother's life change. He knew what I was about. Remember, we're 11 months and 8 days apart. We're very close. He knows me. But he shared his faith with me. That is exactly the person Andrew went to first, his brother. Andrew knew Peter, Peter knew Andrew. The boy with the fish that people probably looked past. Oh, he's just a little boy and was not noticed. He was one small person in a crowd of 5,000 men that all eyes looked past because he was young and thought of as too small to help be a problem solver. Andrew saw him and brought him to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied his resource. You may think your ministry is like Andrew's, marginal, unseen, having no great moments that people see, uncelebrated, but Andrew lived on a pattern and principle, simply taking people to Jesus. I've shared this illustration before. I was painting up on a 40-foot ladder, painting the eaves on a house, the soffits, etc. 40 feet up, people are driving by in my neighborhood. "Hey, Bob," because I'm up top and they see me. But you know what? They didn't see the guy at the bottom holding the ladder. That guy was important to me. Be that guy. That is no consolation prize to be Andrew. What Andrew did is important kingdom service, because the people you bring to Jesus becomes the ones Jesus uses in many ways you could not imagine. What does Paul tell us in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21? That he is able to do above and beyond all we can think, imagine. Right? It's so much more. Or see what's possible. Bring someone to Jesus this week. Andrew's biography is simply pattern and principle. Andrew is proof that the great act of ministry is not the sermon, the platform, or the miracle. It is the conversation that brings one person to Jesus who can change everything in a person's life. Just that conversation. You don't need direction. You don't need to ask God what you should be doing. Those of us in the military know this. You obey the last order given. That's your mission. God has made it clear in the Great Commission he's given in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go and make disciples. That's the last order we got. You don't need to pray about it. God's already spoken. He's told us to serve, to go into the world and live sent lives in service. So what are you going to do with it? Let's not be a church that hears and doesn't do. That doesn't just talk about faith, but lives it out. Let's do that. For His glory. Not for mine, not for yours. For His glory. I want to invite the worship team to come up, please. And as they're coming up and getting ready, I'm going to pray. Pray with me. Father, make me the person who brings others to you and not me. Deliver me from the ministry that builds an audience around myself rather than directing people to you. May I be like Andrew and be the introduction and not the destination, the forerunner and not the feature. Show me the person in my life who needs me to say to them, come, I have found the Messiah. Give me boldness and confidence to say it. Then I can step back and watch what you do. Help me to realize that little is much when you are in it. You are the multiplier. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to sit right down here while worship team leads us. And if you want to pray about your next step, I'm here. Dave Moore, I saw somewhere right there, one of our elders. And Noel, I saw back there. You can come to either one of us. And if there's someone else here that I miss, Justin, he's working the board. We'll be glad to pray with you. But let's do it. Let's do service.